Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We will have A.J. Brown's press conference momentarily, Taylor Lewan, Derrick Henry. Their mini camp availabilities are out of the way. We will have Todd Downing, offensive coordinator, later this hour. Perhaps we'll have Shane Bowen, defensive coordinator, later this hour. We'll have Chris Sanders later this hour. What were our takeaways, Caroline Fenton, when it comes to the Taylor Lewan and Derrick Henry's press conference? For me, my biggest takeaway from the Derrick Henry press conference was basically that he likes Julio Jones. That's what I got from it. I thought Terry McCormick asked via the chat the best question. And that probably needs to be how Terry McCormick asks questions here in the near future. No disrespect to Terry. And I mean, I like Terry fine. No disrespect to Terry, even though he did call me a wise guy reporter one time, like in a sub, not a sub tweet, but it was in an article.
Wise guy.
Well, I was when I asked Ken Whisenhunt about giving up the play calling.
Uh-huh.
And Terry was sitting behind me. And I was like, so here's what happened. So this is a story where this is when people liked me. Because they thought, because when the team stinks and you're the one guy who stands up to it, it's like, Jared,
yeah,
I agree with you. You're
the
one who's right.
Yeah.
So when you're saying, like, I don't know if I like that Vrabel does this, everyone's like, because Vrabel's won a lot of football games, it's like, Jared, he's the coach. He knows. You don't know.
Which just goes to prove that if you win, you can kind of do anything.
Look at Belichick.
Yeah.
So, anywho, so
Saban.
I had, and I was like kind of, you know, still like young, but I was the kind of young where it was like, I think I was 25, and it was the kind of young where I was like out to prove people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the, I'm young, I need to take it easy, I need to learn a little bit. Like, it was the young of like, hey, I am Johnny Badass here, and I am going to tell it like it is,
and I am
going to be the guy.
Why does that surprise me? 0%.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, I mean.
So, Whisenhunt was a disaster as an offensive coach. And honestly, I think he lives in Nashville now. I hope he's listening. He was a disaster of an offensive coach. And, you know, I'm a fan. So, I'm a fan, and I'm on the air, and I'm covering the team, and I try to be as objective as possible, just keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I can't watch this. So, I'm like, Tommy, give it the play calling. So, it's funny. I asked Floyd. I don't think I've ever told this on air because I don't think Floyd like wants his business. So I asked Floyd. I said, hey, this team is like 28th in points. They were 29th last year. Do you think I can ask Whisenhunt if it's time for him to give up the play calling? Floyd said it's a totally legit question. So that was all I needed to hear. And this was before we were on the air together. I mean, we worked a little bit together, but mm-hmm. we weren't together together. And so I asked the question at the press conference. Whisenhunt goes, you know, I don't know. I have to think about whatever. Gets a question from John Glennon about a Harry Douglas injury. Comes right back to me. And goes, what do you think? And I was like, what do you mean, what do I think? And he's like, about what you asked me. And I was like, the play calling? And I was like, yeah, give it up. I was like, I think it's time for a change. And Terry McCormick was sitting behind me. He shushed me, like, shh. And I remember, like, turning around being like,
this is not a movie theater.
So then I read the Terry McCormick article, like, the write-up on it. And it was like, some wise guy reporter asked this question to Kent Whisenhunt. And, I mean, the thing blew up. It was, like, front page of the Tennessean. It was, like, everybody talking about it. It's funny because Floyd actually brought this up to me. I didn't hear this. But, like, after I'd asked that question, there were follow-ups mm-hmm. about the play calling, you know. And that kind of became the big story. And, and so Paul Kaharsky, I guess, asked one of the follow-ups. And Floyd told me, he said, he goes, can you believe what Kaharsky did? I said, what are you talking about? He goes, I listened to Kaharsky, or he wrote something or read something, and he was talking about, yeah, I asked the hard questions or whatever, when it was me who asked Whisenhunt that question. But so this is a long story to tell you that Terry McCormick, you know, I like, but I mean, with the phone. Or whatever it is, the tablet, the computer, it's every press conference.
It sounded like
Robinson,
it was in a fish tank, and he was yelling into it.
It's not only that, it's every time. It's like Terry McCormick. Like, when I hear them say Terry McCormick on a press conference, I'm like, oh, no, here we go.
And, buckle up.
And, like, the one where he was in the car, and Lewan was like, you in the car this time, Terry? That's the best it's been ever. I mean, Robinson makes fun of it. Vrabel makes fun of it. I mean, Derrick Henry's making fun of it. Like, it's, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Boy, people are going to get mad at me now. Anywho, A.J. Brown at the podium today with the media.
AJ, tough being patient now that Julio's here and, you know, you're busy recovering, obviously. And how much are you looking forward to that time when you both get on the field and can start working together?
I'm definitely not getting impatient, but excited to get back on the field and get back out there with my teammates, you know, just to be out there again, you know what I'm saying? So I've been rehabbing. I've just been taking it slow. And I'll be back out there soon.
Buck?
What's up, AJ? A lot of new faces in the wide receiver room this year. What kind of stands out about, obviously, you know, Julio is Julio Jones, but what kind of stands out about Josh Reynolds and Des Fitzpatrick? I know you've only seen probably a little bit of them at this point.
I like how Josh Reynolds carries himself. I don't see firsthand what they're doing on the field because I'm not out there. You know, I haven't really just worked with them. But I like how they carry themselves, well, both of them, off the field, in the locker room, in the meeting room. They're learning, they're trying to get adjusted to everything, and just being a pro, so, which is good. But I can't really speak on the first part because I'm really not out there with them. Like, I see a little film here and there, but that's all I see.
Well, if I can get a quick follow then. Tannehill, when you're working with him, when the transition was made from Marcus to Ryan, what kind of stands out about him as somebody who's trying to acclimate himself to new receivers, and how did that process look for you from your perspective?
For him, it's going to come down to making plays, you know. You build that trust making plays against defenders each and every day, building that trust. And when he's in trouble, and it starts off just him just giving you a chance, giving you an opportunity, you make the play for him, and he'll come back to you. So him building that relationship, you run a million routes all day long, and until he trusts you, then he can throw you the ball in the situation, then he'll keep coming back to you. That's how I feel like he built a trust. That's how he built a trust in me. So,
thanks,
Jim Wyatt.
And AJ, what's your focus been this offseason? I know you hadn't been out there like you'd like, but does that mean you've watched more film? Have you done some other things to kind of make up for being out there? And how's that going?
Yeah, it's been a real slow grind for me. Been doing a lot of lifting weights, cardio, film, just watching, just trying to learn as much as possible. You know, not kill time, but make the most of it. To be honest, so. Like I've been studying, watching old games, trying to just find new ways just to put it in my game, you know, just visualizing it. So.
Teron.
Hey, Jay, what's up, man? Coach Downing, he had mentioned some of the things he wants to do with you as far as expand your route tree, get you, you know, familiar with recognizing coverages, et cetera. Is that something that you embraced, and how did that come about? Like, is that something that you went to him to do, or did he come to you? How did that evolve?
He came to me. He came to me this offseason when he got the job, and he was just kind of gave me like a little heads up about it, you know. And as far as we went along, we got a little into depth about it. Of course, I'm gonna embrace any new opportunity. They're kind of asking to put a little more on me this year, which is fine. They can't put more on me than I can put on myself. That I put on myself already, so like it's all good, you know. So I'll be ready.
John Glennon.
Hey AJ, I was going to ask you about your campaign of sorts to help bring Julio here. Mm-hmm. What kind of prompted you to start that? Knowing that he was not a free agent even, and you know, how much did you talk with Julio during that, and do you end up feeling like maybe you made any kind of
yeah, it was going in and out, but I think I could use my contact tools, but. Yes, I was talking to him during the process. Was on the phone talking or whatever. And to be honest, it came about me just being bored, just having so much time on my hand. You know, I was working out as much as I can, but just me being bored, me being at home bored by myself. So, and just just wanted to do something by time. That's how it went about. So,
yeah, and again, I know he was not a free agent, but you know, do you did you ever hear any feedback? I guess from the Titans coaches or GM, and do you feel like you maybe helped make a difference at all in bringing him here?
I don't know. For me, like, it was all fun and games. I mean, if it helped, it helped. But I think I put it in the air for them to show that, like, I'm not afraid of competition or anyone, or bringing in another superstar like that. So, you know, if it helped, it helped. But for me, it was just all fun and games. So.
It's a couple more for AJ, and then we have Coach Downing. Kayla?
Hey, AJ, following up with some Julio stuff here, how much has your relationship grown with him just for the short time that you've been here? And how fun do you think it's going to be with two kind of dominant, you know, personalities and dominant guys out on the field to just build that kind of together too?
It's going to be real fun. We talk about it all the time. we talk about it all the time. Who are they going to try to take away, you know? But like I said, we got to put the work in, you know, we got to go to work, and like, I'm excited to get back out there and get back on the field and do my diligence.
Paul?
AJ, how do you think coverage changes now, given that you've got, you know, an all-time great on the other side?
I think it starts in the backfield. The guy we got in the backfield demands all the attention first. You know, but I think you just got to play us honest. You got to play everybody honest, you know, not just me and Julio. You got Ferkster, Josh Reynolds, all the other guys too. So, you know, a lot of names that'll kind of sneak up on you. So we'll see how whatever coverage they throw out there, we'll be ready.
Last question, quick. David Beauclair.
AJ, speaking of social media, do you remember recording the post-surgery video, and when you watched it with a clear head later, did you think it was funny, embarrassing? What was your reaction?
I definitely thought it was embarrassing because I'm not that player, and I don't want attention. I'm not in it for the accolades. Like, for me, I just want to be the best. So a lot of guys will give me a hard time about it. You know, so they know that's not me, but they were just making fun of me. But it was embarrassing, you know. So
there you go. That's AJ Brown. And a couple of things AJ Brown said that stood out, I want to get to next. Our takeaways from the press conference, 615-737-1025. Your takeaways. We'll get to those coming up next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. We'll see if Todd Downing or Shane Bowen says anything interesting. I don't think we probably need to run that live. But we'll see. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Let me tell everybody out there that this Father's Day, ESPN 1025 The Game is saluting frontline fathers. Submit written descriptions of the fathers who are serving on the front lines, including military, hospital workers, firefighters, or police. This week, we will air all of those submissions via call-ins, text messages, our website, and social media. Visit The Game Nashville now for more information. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. I said Stillman & Company, right? I think I said that.
All right.
Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. All right, our takeaways. LaJuan, Henry, AJ Brown. I'm going to go first.
By all means. My
takeaway first is this. Number one, Taylor LaJuan's going to be healthy for the start of the season. Mm-hmm. Now, once you tear your ACL, it's one or the other. You are either susceptible to tearing it again, or it's like Ryan Tannehill. Knock on wood. Did you hear that?
All the wood. All the wood is being knocked on.
You're Ryan Tannehill. You have your torn ACL. You have the surgery. You come back. You don't get hurt after that. And as of right now, Tannehill didn't get hurt in 2018 with the ACL. Didn't get hurt in 2019 with the ACL. Didn't get hurt in 2020. Now, he tried. Remember that little finger roll he had in the Bills and he landed awkwardly? I mean, he tried, but he didn't. So, LaJuan's going to be the left tackle. That's not really a surprise, but I will say this. I am uneasy with Bud Dupree's current situation mm-hmm. coming back, knowing how much they've invested in Dupree, knowing how much they need Dupree on the field week one. And they need Dupree to be 100% week one, and just how unlikely that is. LaJuan tore his ACL, I think, a month after Dupree tore his. So that's probably a big difference as far as being on the field and ready to go week one. But LaJuan, when asked about the rehab, said it's not really about rehabbing anymore. It's about strength training at this point, which I think is a good step in the right direction. That's the number one takeaway. That's probably the most important thing. The second thing I took away is A.J. Brown admitted what we all probably thought, which is the Titans are talking about, all right, if you take away Derrick Henry and you take away Julio, hey, who are you going to take? I mean, you can't take them all away. And I the reason I bring that up is because that is, if there was any concern, and I don't have a big concern, but if there was any concern about there being maybe a selfish aspect to all of this, I think it's gone. You know, any possibility that somebody could come in after a game and say, hey, I only got targeted three times. What are we doing? If everybody is sitting there saying, hey, if they're going to take you away and they're going to take me away, then that means that you've got a shot to get it. Then all of a sudden, when Derrick Henry gets the ball 13 times in a game, but A.J. Brown has 11 catches for 176 yards and two touchdowns, everybody will sit there and say, hey, they sold out. They went 9 in the box. A.J. took it the distance. They couldn't stop A.J. today. And I think that's a good sign. I think the second takeaway, or third takeaway, but the second takeaway from A.J. Brown was they really do. Like, when we talk about the Titans offense, we talk about Henry and Brown and Jones and let it rip. And when they talk on TV about the Titans offense, that's all they'll ever talk about.
They're not going to talk about Josh Reynolds on ESPN.
But we went back and we looked at it. You know, the greatest show on turf, Rams, it wasn't just Marshall Faulk, Isaac Bruce, and Torrey Holt. Robert Holcomb was a big part of that. It wasn't just in Indianapolis, Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. Dominic Rhodes and Joseph Addai and Dallas Clark and Ben Utek, they were a big part of that. And the way they look at it, the way A.J. Brown talked about it, and the way Derrick Henry talked about it when he was asked about adding Julio to the mix, and he said, hey, look, it's all about just putting it together. I think that they inside that room look at Firkser and Reynolds and they think, okay, these are the guys. You know, you have five guys that are eligible receivers on any play. Now, yesterday Vrabel talked about using multiple tight end sets and things like that, but it's not the same when you have Delanie Walker and Jonnu Smith, both of whom can block, both of whom can catch. It's not going to be the same when it's Anthony Firkser who can catch but can't block and Jeff Swaim who can block but can't catch. And then who knows behind them? It's not the same. So when you've got five eligible receivers in a passing down, it's going to be Brown, Jones, Reynolds, Firkser, and then kind of the question of Henry or Evans, if it's more than like third and two, it's probably going to be Darrington Evans. But if it's a first and 10, I think those are your five eligible receivers. I think you're in 11 personnel. So they look at this. I think they, and this is how I look at it too, they look at it like it isn't just the big three, but it's those guys, Firkser and Reynolds. And I think they expect Firkser and Reynolds to have big seasons because you can't take everybody away. Mm-hmm. You can't take everybody away and rush the passer at the same time. And if you don't rush the passer, Ryan Tannehill is smart enough to stand back there until somebody comes open. And ultimately, you're going to have to sell out something. And I think that is the entire mentality of the offense. I think every week that we get ready to break down a Titans game and we'll look at the other team on defense, I don't think it's going to be, okay, Buffalo has Tre'Davious White, so how worried are we about Tre'Davious White locking down? So I don't care.
That's fine. Just give it to another guy.
Who's their third corner? Who's their third and fourth corner? Who are their safeties? Okay, they've got Jordan Poyer. Jordan Poyer is pretty good in coverage. Well, guess what? Is Jordan Poyer coming down to stop Derrick Henry, or is Jordan Poyer going to worry about Josh Reynolds or Anthony Firkser? And I think that's how they're going to look at it on offense. That is the key to the season. Is how much can the other two guys, Reynolds and Firkser, how much can they make a defense pay when the defense uses all of its resources to A, rush the passer, and B, stop the other three guys. And we talked about Joe Rexroad saying yesterday on the show that he noticed at practice Derrick Henry catching the ball a lot. I think the Titans need Derrick Henry this year to at least be a threat in the passing game. They don't need him to be Alvin Kamara. But just like he had that screen pass that he ran into the end zone for a touchdown against Cleveland, or like the big reception he had against the Texans in overtime last year, they need that threat of Derrick Henry. They need, all right, fine. You guys are going to come after Tannehill, and you're going to try to lock down these other guys. Well, if Derrick Henry slips out and we throw Derrick the ball 5 yards and everybody's worried about Julio and everybody's worried about AJ and my pass rushers are coming for the quarterback and you just dump the ball off to Derrick Henry, he's turning around and at least going 25 with it and maybe a touchdown, because that's what Derrick does when he gets out in the space like that. So that was kind of my big takeaway listening to AJ. We'll hear what Todd Downing has to say. We'll get to that in a little bit, but those are my takeaways. What'd you think?
I think I also thought about how we as media, and I think as fans as well, worry about that gap in success between last year's offense and this year, and a shift in offensive coordinator and losing Johnny Smith and Corey Davis. I think people were worried, okay, you've had that superstar offense last year. How can you bridge that gap and continue to have success on offense? And I don't think that that's a worry. I heard it from AJ Brown. I heard it from Derrick Henry. You know, when Derrick Henry was asked about Todd Downing, he was like, well, it was the same thing when Arthur came in. It's just another offensive coordinator, and we're going to continue to work hard, and we're going to continue to be collaborative, and we're going to continue to be one cohesive unit, and we're going to continue to put in a lot of work on the field, in the weight room, and be that big superstar offense that we were last year and be even better this year. You know, I don't, the way that it sounded from Derrick Henry, they're not worried about a change in offensive coordinator. He's like, Todd Downing's been here. We've had multiple offensive coordinators in our life before. This isn't anything new. We're just going to continue to grind and continue to have that same success that we had last year. So that was a good sign to me as well. And also just that emphasis on collaboration. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about me. It's not just about that guy next to me. It's about this entire offense as a whole.
We talked about that last week when we listened to Julio.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about, like, hey, I'm not a stats guy. I'm here to win.
Yeah.
And I was like, boy, that makes me feel good. And then after hearing that, you know, hearing what,
like,
they said.
It.
I mean, I think that now it's easy to say that when everybody is 0-0. It becomes a lot more difficult when you lose. But still, I'm just not, with the history of these guys, I'm not worried of those kind of issues. We'll hear what Todd Downing, the offensive coordinator, had to say next. Then Chris Sanders will join us. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. This week's new deal is a $50 gift card for only $25 to Nashville's newest and largest axe-throwing venue, Bad Axe Throwing Nashville in downtown at 648 Fog Street. Aim for a great time at Bad Axe Throwing Nashville while enjoying panoramic downtown views, live music on the Bad Axe stage, curated cocktails from the full bar, and a Northwoods-inspired menu with a southern twist. We've got other great deals still going, including $30 at Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House for only $15. Buy one, get one free for Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon. $30 Party Foul gift card for only $15, and $20 to Grain and Berry for only $10. Get yours now while they last at thegamenashville.com. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Stillman and Company, ESPN 102.5 The Game, ESPN 94.9 is the home for Sounds Baseball Tonight. The Sounds and the Gwinnett Stripers do battle in Gwinnett. Pregame show 5:50, first pitch 6:05. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and 312 Pizza Company. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, will join us after what we heard from A.J. Brown about spreading the ball around. We'll see what Chris has to say about that. Meanwhile, offensive coordinator Todd Downing met with the media after minicamp today.
Hey, Coach, I know it's only a small sample size at this point, but what have you seen from your group, and how have you liked the way that they've integrated between the rookies and the vets?
Yeah, it's been great to see those guys work together and start to build on that chemistry as an offense. And, you know, we're just in the early process of this, but it's been fun to watch those guys work. I like the work ethic. I like how hard they've been trying to refine the details and come together and get to know one another as teammates.
Jim Wyatt.
But I'm curious, I guess, how did you find out officially that the team was getting Julio, and then what might his addition mean, for the offense?
Yeah, we have a communication system in place with Coach Vrabel and John, and that worked down to me. So I got the news as I was here at work and excited about it, and certainly was good news to hear.
Ron.
Yeah, Coach Todd, with you having, Julio and then all these other weapons, how do you go about addressing the whole concept of maybe not having enough balls to go around?
Yeah, I don't look at it quite like having enough football to go around. You know, each week's going to present its own opportunity and challenge from defenses that we face, and each week's going to require something different to play winning football. And that's what our job is as an offense, is to play complementary and winning football. And I believe the addition of Julio and having weapons on the outside and in the backfield and at the line of scrimmage, those are all just ways to help us stay balanced, to help us to attack in different ways. And that's, that's our biggest chart. It's not to make sure that a certain amount of mouths are fed and all that. It's a week by week process.
Paul,
Todd, lack of one on ones in a camp like this, kind of a new development. I know you'll take what you can get, but did you miss something like that? Would it have been good for your guys, particularly to get that work?
Yeah, I think any work that we can get is good work, obviously. And like you mentioned, we'll take what we can get. We were able to get some good full-speed stuff in the 7-on-7 and be able to work some of that process as well. I love one-on-ones because you get a chance to go watch guys compete, but we weren't able to do that at this time, and so we made our adjustments and got better where we could.
Teresa?
Todd, with the addition of Julio, the offense such that he kind of fits into what you've already kind of been planning to do this year, or do you maybe go to the drawing board and it's like, this guy gives us a chance to maybe do some extra things with the offense?
Well, when you're dealing with a skill set like his, I think there are certainly times that you get excited about maybe something that he could do or shown over his career that he can do. But we don't change our foundation or our scheme just for the addition of a player. I'm excited that he has history in a scheme like this in his time in Atlanta, and I think that that's going to help transition a little bit, and it's going to make it a little bit easier for us to highlight some of those skills that he has and in different ways that he's done in the past.
Gentry.
Yeah, Todd, you've talked before about not a priority to put your own stamp on the offense and not trying to be Arthur as well. When you're talking about what a Todd Downing offense looks like, how close was that in your mind to what the offense is now? Meaning, are we expected, is this a matter of tweaks, or do you really feel as though, there's an ideal out there that that you can bring to this?
I'll leave it to you to call it a Todd Downing offense. This is a Tennessee Titans offense. And, I want this to be the most effective offense for helping us win football games. And whatever that means week to week, it'll adjust. My vision for this offense is simply that we are, a disciplined, high effort, high energy, sound football team, and that we go out and help our team win ball games by not doing stuff to get ourselves beat. And the rest of it's going to fall into place. As I said, it turns into a week-by-week thing. But this certainly isn't a Todd Downing offense. It's a Tennessee Titans offense.
Joe Rexroad.
Yeah, Todd, kind of followed up on Teresa's question. I mean, would you say that, those three guys in particular are, I guess, an elite trio, an extreme trio for the other side to look at on a given week? How much of an advantage could it be? And what do you think you'll see, from defensive coordinators this year in terms of trying to adjust to that?
Yeah, I don't really get into ranking trios or groups of players that I've coached or am coaching now against anybody else in the league. Our goal is to be better each day that we go out there. And my hope is that those three grow together with the rest of the skill guys on offense, and that they create a bond and a cohesion with the offensive line and with Ryan. you know, and that they're able to accomplish their own personal goals, you know, through a selflessness to the team. And, you know, that's my biggest challenge for those guys and for myself included. You know, how defenses want to play us, I'm sure we'll get some different looks. I'm sure we'll get some unscouted things and possibly some looks that we wouldn't have gotten if Julio wasn't here. But, you know, our job as a staff is to put together a sound game plan each week, and we'll try to be ready for whatever they throw at us.
Two more, John Glennon.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about a couple of the long shot guys, the tryout guys, Adam Kuhn and Hassan French. Wonder if you've dealt with guys like that before that, you know, hadn't played college football and sort of the challenge, you know, same time you're trying to get a team and an offense ready, but you're also trying to basically teach these guys a lot. Also, how do you go about doing that?
Yeah, I was telling this story to a couple guys earlier today. But early in my career, when I was with the Vikings, I was on the staff when Brock Lesnar tried out in training camp. So it's officially my second former wrestler that I've been around. But, you know, both those guys have an incredible work ethic. You know, they're both in really good shape, obviously. You know, they're both hungry. They're both high character individuals. They're working really hard to learn the positions and learn our scheme. You know, and I'm excited for them and their opportunity. Both of them are approaching it in a very professional manner, and you can tell that, you know, it's no accident that both of them had success in their respective other sports. We'll see where it goes from there. You know, like I said, guys that are working hard and will have an opportunity, so excited to see what they do.
Last question, Ben Arthur.
Hey, Todd, in what ways does, you know, kind of adding a star receiver of Julio's caliber maybe open up the playbook for you just because of kind of the coverages that you guys may see this year?
I think that, you know, remains to be seen a little bit. But certainly when you add a weapon of his caliber, it creates some fun opportunities from a game planning standpoint and gives you a little bit more flexibility. So we're excited about that, but I'm also excited about the rest of the guys and how hard they've been working at the wide receiver position. You know, Josh Reynolds has been in here every day working. And, you know, those other guys, Marcus Johnson, you know, and Chester Rogers, and, you know, all those guys are out there, you know, working extremely hard. Cody Hollister's been working his tail off. All those guys that have put in the work, Freddie Brown, all those guys. You know, I'm excited to see what they can do, and I think that with that competition, that room, we can finish with a well-rounded position.
Titans offensive coordinator Todd Downing. You think that Todd Downing is stressing the element of team as far as the Titans are concerned? The fact that, hey, you know, let's not forget about Marcus Johnson. Let's not forget about Teddy Brown. Let's not forget about Des Fitzpatrick. Let's not forget about Jared Pinkney. Let's not forget about all those guys. Not just about Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, Anthony Ferguson. I will say this. The Titans always pride themselves on team. The last 2 weeks, as far as Vrabel, Tannehill, Henry, Brown, Jones, Downing, it seems like they're all just focused on team. And that was the gist I got there from Todd Downing. Chris Sanders will join us next, former Titans receiver. Now, he was worried when they traded for Julio. He was worried about how this was going to work, what the dynamic was going to be. We'll get to Chris Sanders. We'll get his thoughts on it next. Stillman & Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Derrick Henry has talked now with the Titans media since the acquisition of Julio Jones. A.J. Brown, Taylor Lewan, last week Julio Jones, yesterday Tannehill. Vrabel has talked multiple times. Todd Downing has now talked. And all they ever keep talking about is the team, team, team. Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders joins us now on the program. Chris, thank you,
yes, sir,
for letting us get to the Titan players and obviously get to your reaction. I want to start with something Julio said last week, something that you were a little worried about when all of this was discussed. And you've played in the NFL, and you've played with some really good wide receivers, including guys that, you know, perhaps one day will end up in the Hall of Fame. But Carl Pickens, we know, won't. But he was brought in to the Titans to kind of be the savior. And he certainly was not that. And you have obviously spoken about that experience a couple of times, you know, since then. You were worried about Julio and how he would take to this team coming in here. Julio was asked a lot of questions about that last week. Here's one of Julio's answers. I want to play it, then I want your reaction out, maybe how you feel about the chemistry of the team. Here's what Julio said last week.
It's just, you know, at the end of the day, you want to create a winning culture. You know, however you need to do it to get the job done. My whole career, I've never been a stat guy. You know, previous years, everybody always asking me what you thinking you're going to do, what's your prediction, you know, things like that. I've never been a stat guy. I'm a team guy. I'm just excited to be a part of the organization. And whatever they need from me to do, you know, I'm willing to do it and play my role and play it at a high level.
Chris, when you hear that, what do you think?
You know, I mean, you know, I had the, just like you said, I had the question coming in, but here's what settled it for me is I called Terry Rubisky. Terry Rubisky coached him in Atlanta and coached him, you know, a while. And Terry Rubisky said this. He said he's a total team player. He's a guy that doesn't want to have stats. He just wants to go out there and win games. So when you hear a guy like that that wants to come into an organization and he just wants to win and bring his talent to the Tennessee Titans, it's just a recipe for success because that's the kind of guys that Mike Vrabel and J-Rob want. They want, they don't want me guys. They want guys who want to be a part of it. And here's the key thing that he said, Jared. He said, I want to play my role. That is huge. I mean, you have a star receiver. You got a guy coming in with a great talent, and he says, I want to play my role. If, what is your role? Is your role catching 3 or 4 balls a game? And if he can keep doing that and he lives according to his words, man, I'm going to tell you something. We have a recipe for success.
Chris, it's funny you bring that up because just listening to all the press conferences, the Titan players, the fans celebrated as soon as they made the trade for Julio Jones.
Right.
The media has celebrated the Titans since they've done this. You know, you turn on the TV and it's, is Tennessee a contender for the Super Bowl now that they've acquired Julio Jones? Just listening to everybody today, even Derrick Henry, there's kind of this sense of like, hey, that's all great, but I hope you're all right, but there's a lot of work to do. What is the mindset of somebody? You've been on an offense that had Eddie George, Derek Mason, Steve McNair, Frank Wycheck. What is kind of the mindset and what is the fear going into the season when you know that you're that loaded on offense?
You know, I mean, Jared, that's a great, great question because the thing this, they go in the AFC South, the pressure starts to set in. I mean, the stuff are going to have pressure. So I just think that these guys just have to come to camp and just work. I mean, each guy keeps saying that. We got to come in and work. We got to come in and know our role. We just got to do our job. And the thing about it is, it sounds real dandy when we're in OTA, we're not in pads, but I want to see when it gets grimy. I want to see in the 3rd and 4. I want to see in the 3rd and 5. Are guys going to stick to the game plan on what they're talking about? So, yeah, we had Derek Mason. We had Frank Wycheck. We had Kevin Dyson. We had Yancey Thigpen. We had guys that came in and we worked. We said, okay, you know what? I know my role, and I'm going to go out there and make plays when my name is called.
How did
and
you
it
feel
sounds
as
good. And was that?
Oh, well, I was just going to say, Chris Anders with us. How did you feel as a player? You knew Eddie George was getting the ball. Now, you played with Eddie in college, but you knew Eddie was getting the ball. Before Eddie got there, when Chris Chandler was the quarterback, you were on the all-rookie team because Chris Chandler would chuck the ball 45 yards down the field to you. Eddie George comes, it's different. Steve McNair gets put in as starter.
Right.
It's different because you're going to want to run the ball with a young quarterback.
True.
How would you feel, put yourself in AJ and Julio's shoes here, how would you feel knowing that deep down inside the best success for this offense is by turning around and giving the ball to number 22?
You see, you just said the key words, what's best for this team. And if those guys have the attitude of what they're talking about, that it's team first, us second, you know, you just got to know your role. I mean, we had a whole bunch of wide receivers, but the team was built, or the offense was built around Eddie George. You know, my whole attitude, my whole mindset was, I want to go to the Super Bowl. I want to win games. I want to win the AFC, and I want to accomplish one of my dreams. So if I have the mindset that I want to go to the Super Bowl, it don't matter if I catch like 14 balls. I don't care if I catch 16 that season. I just want to know my role. And I know that kind of sounds cute right now because no pads are on. But I'm telling you, Jared, if they keep this mindset up of guys just saying, you know what, I want to do my role. I don't care if I catch 5. I don't care if AJ Brown catches 6 and Julio Jones catches 1. My whole mindset is I want to win. So if they can do that, Jared, I'm going to tell you something, dog. It's the sky's the limit for these cats.
Chris Anders with us. A.J. Brown today, every time you turn on TV, and even we do it, I do it. I mean, honestly, you look at the names, Henry, Brown, Julio Jones, And AJ, not only did Todd Downing make a note of this today, the offensive coordinator, but AJ today was talking about the fact that it's not just about those guys. It's about some others as well. Here's what AJ Brown had to say, Chris.
I think it starts in the backfield. The guy we got in the backfield demands all the attention first. But I think you just got to play us honest. You got to play everybody honest, you know, not just me and Julio. You got Firkster, Josh Reynolds, all the other guys too. So, you know, a lot of names that'll kind of sneak up on you. So we'll see how whatever coverage they throw out there, we'll be ready.
Jerry, can I comment on that, man?
Sure, go ahead.
That's what it's all about. He said, I mean, who's a prolific wide receiver, he said it starts in the backfield. You know, that's football talk. But when you hear a prolific receiver saying it starts with Derrick Henry and then it comes to me, because he knows that if we win in the backfield and he starts making plays, then that just opens it up for A.J. Brown, Firkser, Julio Jones, Evans, all those guys. So he knows if it starts back there, then we can go win some ball games. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, you know, the fact that he's looking at everybody saying, hey, it ain't just about me and Julio and AJ. You know, don't forget about Firkser and Reynolds. I think Firkser and Reynolds may be the key to the entire season offensively for this team.
Huh? What you talking about, Willis?
I mean, I think that those guys, the matchups that they will get and those opportunities, knowing that everybody's going to try to take away Derrick Henry, knowing everyone's going to try to take away AJ Brown, Julio Jones, I think those guys could be like in the red zone and other things. Right. That could be what makes or breaks the Titans.
Yeah, well, but see, here's the deal. It's all what Todd Downing is going to do, because you know the Tennessee Titans live in 12 personnel. So when you have 12 personnel, so one back, two tight ends, two wide receivers, you know, I don't know if two wide receivers or 10 personnel, one back, one, zero tight ends, and four receivers. If they do that, Jared, then I think that those guys that make plays, but you know that the Tennessee Titans live in 11 personnel and 12 personnel. So I agree with you 100% that if those guys get a chance to get in a slot and make some plays, or, you know, A.J. Leo Brown needs a break, then I think the defense are going to be like, okay, we're going to let down, go man-to-man outside, and that's where Dez Fitzpatrick, and that's where Josh Reynolds, and that's where Bassett can make plays.
Chris Anders with us. Last thing for you, Chris. Bud Dupree yesterday was talking about, again, you know, he wouldn't really update us on where he is with his ACL. You know, neither. LaJuan kind of did a little bit. But yeah. Bud Dupree was asked about kind of being the guy, the pass rushing guy, and basically took responsibility. And I'm paraphrasing what he said, but basically, that's what I'm here to be. How important is it that that actually comes to fruition and that Bud Dupree is the guy that the Titans can rely on to get sacks this year?
You know, Jared, we definitely need it. I mean, because if you look at the defense, what was the Achilles heel was getting to the quarterback. How many sacks did the Tennessee Titans have last year? They had 19 sacks. I mean, that's not going to win you in the ball games. So if Dupree comes in here and even Autry comes in here and just gets above that number and get a couple of stops, it's just going to make the offense better and also the defense better. So if he comes in here, just say he comes in here and get 11 sacks, that is going to improve the defense. And also, it's going to make everybody better. It's going to make Landry, it's going to make Simmons, it's going to make those guys better, because now you have a bona fide pass rusher that's going to command attention. So I think it's great. I hope that he comes in here healthy. I hope he comes in camp, and I hope he just wrecks shop and gets between 11 and 13 sacks.
How did you feel the last day of minicamp, knowing that you were gone for about 4 or 5 weeks until it was time to crank it up for camp?
I couldn't wait to get back. I mean, I just love playing football. Yeah, I went to Cancun and got some rest and did all those things to get my body right. But, man, I was chomping at the bit, especially when we came off the Super Bowl. And the next year, I was chomping at the bit. I just love playing football. I love OTAs. I love camp. And I'm going to tell you something. I was chomping at the bit to come back and try to win a championship. But we came up short. But, hey, I was chomping at the bit.
Sounds like the guys at Titans say they want the guys who love ball. Sounds like you fit into that category.
Oh, Chris man, Sanders, I love ball.
As always, former Titans receiver, Chris, appreciate you. We will talk
always, soon. My friend. You take care.
Yep, right. Chris Anders joining us on the program. So it sounds like A.J. Brown putting his hand in the air and saying it starts in the backfield, which I heard that too, and I thought, you know, good. Like, because I believe it starts in the backfield. So when I heard that, I thought, good for A.J. Brown. But it is interesting that he says that, and that's what Chris Anders jumps up off the table and says, hold on, Jared. I want to respond to what AJ said before we get into kind of discussing about it. And I just think that right now, And again, Mike Vrabel said this early in his tenure as coach of the Titans, and I thought that it was a really good point that he made that has stayed with me for forever, which is your team's culture doesn't matter when you're winning. It really only matters when you're losing. It matters when things are bad. That's what keeps everything together. It feels, though, even though everything's 0-0 and they're not losing games and Julio Jones isn't thinking, hey, if I got the ball more, we'd win more games kind of thing, it feels like they've got the right culture on offense to make all of these parts work. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Next hour, we're going to give away tickets to see Jimmy Buffett. That's right, Jimmy Buffett at the Ascend Amphitheater. So we'll give those away, plus Jason Fitz will join us. But coming up next, I feel like we're the only people that have stayed consistent as far as the college football playoff is concerned. Because apparently there's momentum now moving that this could happen sooner rather than later. We will discuss that next. Stillman and Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. But first we'll hit the headlines with Caroline as well. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.